best thing or the greatest? 0487 999 882 is the number, and we will play one of those songs for you before the show is out. All right, it's time to welcome Brett Patton back into the studio, the CEO of Tennis West. Gee, can't think if we've got anything much to talk about today, Brett.
Not
tennis
a lot on,
related.
I'm going to vote in for the pick the hit. I do like Boom Crash Opera.
Yeah, see, that's our vintage.
It is.
That was going back to the late 80s.
That's the Arcadia days.
Exactly.
Aberdeen.
So Simon Beaumont was talking about the Library nightclub this morning where there's been a COVID cluster.
Oh.
And he was asking anyone who's actually been to the Library nightclub. You're not still going to nightclubs.
No, not anymore. since the late 90s gave that away.
Okay, fair enough. Ash, where do we start?
Oh, where do we start? What a remarkable athlete she is. I mean, if she's not the greatest sporting athlete right now in the world, I'll go here. I mean, she holds herself so incredibly well on the court, but off the court speaks incredibly well. She's an absolute delightful young lady. And you know what? She's carrying tennis globally on her back and will do for many more years to come.
So this is a good question to ask you as the boss of Tennis West. What does that do? Tell honestly, because you hear, oh, this is going to be so great for tennis. This is going to make kids pick up tennis rackets. Do you think it will?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. And you see a real spike, particularly around Grand Slam time and particularly in participation in court hire.
Yep.
When you have the likes of an Ash Barty or a Pat Rafter winning or Leighton Hewitt winning or the Pat Cash back in the late 80s, you actually see a spike in people wanting to get a racket, go down to a club, hire a court now and play the game of tennis. So it does make a significant impact, no question about that.
So you're rattling off all the Australians, so it makes an impact on Australians when Australians are winning. But what about even just the iconic players like Federer and Nadal and people? Is that enough, or do we need Aussie success to really make people pick up a racket?
I think when you see the global stars like a Rafa, particularly Roger, when he comes to town, and we saw that at the Hopman Cup, he sold out the venue multiple times over. Rafael Nadal, as good a player he is and as big a star as he is on the global stage, he's only got the selling capacity of about 50% of a Roger Federer. So people want to see Roger, and when Roger comes, they too want to get down to the local tennis club, pick up a racket and have a game of tennis. I bet it inspires you. I reckon Wimbledon will get you to pick up a racket, and when you watch some of the best Australian athletes would want you to pick up a racket.
Yeah, even now, even the Australian Open, it makes you want to get out there and play. If you're someone who's played, you want to get back out there onto the court. Interesting you say that about Rafa, because we'll talk about the men's final in a minute, because he's got to be the crowd favourite over Medvedev tonight, but we'll get into that in a minute. On the text line, Meg says, how much did Ash Barty win last night, along with the men's doubles final with the special Ks? Good question, Meg. I can tell you that because I had a little bit of a look before. The prize money now, so it came down a little bit, Brett, with, I think it was because of crowd capacity.
Absolutely.
And COVID and all of that, mm-hmm. Come down. So Ash only won $2.875 million
last
night.
That's pocket change for Ash now.
Yeah. Danielle Collins gets just over $1.5 million for being runner-up. And how's this? This is the one that surprised me. I said this on air yesterday or the day before about the prize money for the doubles, because it's a Grand Slam doubles. They each, Kokkinakis and Kyrgios, each get $675,000.
No, they split that in half.
The website says each, per player.
Wouldn't be. They'd split that in half. I know Matty Ebden for the runner-up got $180,000.
Oh, well, it says $360,000 on the website.
So him and Maxi Purcell got $180,000. So that's the total that the combination gets. So
see, I'm going to show you that on the website because it actually says per player, and I thought that sounded too much.
Do you want to have a pie and sauce on it, Gibber?
No, I believe you. I'm telling you the website doesn't make it clear because I believe you. If Matty Ebden says he got $180,000, that's what he got. He would know that it wasn't $360,000.
He'd be tuning in too, Matty. He caught a flight over last night and he finds himself in quarantine.
He's home
waiting,
already, is he?
Waiting for the birth of his first child, actually. His beautiful wife, Kimmy's well pregnant, and I think she's looking to deliver in the next couple of weeks. So we give a shout out to Matty Ebden.
Absolutely. So he's not too thrilled, though, is he? He's had to come home and be in isolation now. He thought he could wait till the 5th of Feb. The borders would be open, and she's due on the 14th, I think.
She is. It's caught a lot off guard, and Matty did plan for that. I mean, it was certainly a consideration when he was looking to go away and play the Australian Summer of Tennis. You know, a month away, you know, with the February the 5th deadline, he thought, worst case scenario, he'd be back in for the birth of his child, and went all the way through to literally the last weekend of the Australian Open, the Australian Summer of Tennis, and unfortunately he finds himself in quarantining. But he's had a remarkable month, no question about that. Last round of qualifying in the men's singles, getting through to that final in the doubles, picking up a lot of cash.
I'm moving over closer to
you. Oh, you are?
Look at this. On the Australian Open website, men's and women's per player $675,000.
Yeah, look, I dispute that. I don't know if that's necessarily right. I think that's split in half, Kivo. But anyway, I'll go back to my researchers. I could owe you a pie and sauce.
You're the one who should know this stuff, so I'll believe you. Okay, because I thought that's an awful lot of money. Where did you sit in the men's doubles? What do you think of the histrionics? What did you think of the Kyrgios Kokkinakis? Well, here's a question for you with your Tennis West hat on again. Do they bring people to the game? I think the answer is yes.
Absolutely yes. And we saw that in the semi-final. We saw Kokkinakis and Kyrgios play their semi-final on Rod Laver Arena, I think it was, and that was capacity. Absolutely capacity. And then we had a look at Maxi Purcell and Matty Ebden's. They played the doubles exactly the same time. I think they played on one of the outside arenas, and it was probably only a quarter full.
Yeah.
So they do bring people to the game. And love him or hate him, he's an interesting character, but there is a lot of kids, particularly 14, 15, and male boys or boys, want to come and see him play because he does bring a real theatre to the game. And they want to tune in and watch the theatre. They want to be entertained, Gibbo.
But yeah, absolutely. But what do you think then about those boys starting wanting to be like him and then getting out there and carrying on like a pork chop?
Yeah, you know what? It does actually have a carryover effect. And if you look at John McEnroe, so John was sort of one of my idols growing up. And
yeah,
that
I can tell
him.
Now. You smashed the rackets.
But, you know, we almost wanted to play a lot like him. You know, someone to play like Bjorn Borg, someone to play like Jimmy Connors when you and I were coming through. And I didn't mind seeing that, but it almost gave me a license to say, if he's doing it, I can do it. So we will see a carryover when people pick up a racket to try to do the hot dogging, the through the legs backward shot, the underarm serve. We're starting to see the underarm serve come back into vogue. A lot of the men, male, even Andy Murray did an underarm serve, which you never think would have happened at a tournament a few months ago. And the histrionics on court from Nick Kyrgios, it's not a great look if I was completely honest with it, but gee, it's entertaining.
Yeah, I reckon too, keen for your thoughts. I think they behaved themselves a bit more last night because of the enormity of the situation. It's a Grand Slam final and because they were playing the other two Aussies.
There was some respect. There's no question about that. But you know what? They actually reined it in the semi-final doubles as well. They were sort of playing on a wish and a prayer up until the semi-finals. They thought, well, we're just going to go out here and have a good time, see how far we can go. All of a sudden, it dawned on them, we're in a semi-final of a Grand Slam. We actually could potentially get through to a final and potentially win it. They did rein in the histrionics in that semi and clearly again in that final. There was one blow-up, one of a nutter in the crowd started yelling out. So Kyrgios was sort of the leader of the band there trying to get that particular spectator kicked out. It worked. But again, that just added some flavour to the whole tournament.
Absolutely. It's ironic though, isn't it? There's Kyrgios being the arbiter of bad behaviour when it comes to the crowd, when he's the one inciting them into a frenzy most of the time. Max Purcell came out and said in an interview afterwards that some of those earlier matches where it was going crazy, he didn't think that if you were watching that overseas, he didn't think it was a good look for tennis and for Australia. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I liken it to, we sometimes have short memories. So if you go back to the 80s and the 90s, when the Swedes, Stefan Edberg, Mats Wilander, they were having a great run at the Australian Open, and there was a big contingent of Swedes just to come there, paint the face. They used to chant. They used to get up and cheer every point. It's almost like this tournament was almost like, particularly with Kyrgios playing, a Davis Cup tie. What it did, it really got people in to really start cheering, really start supporting. We know it's a gentleman game. I mean, that's the tradition. We want to clap quietly. We want to cheer
that's the
right
thing. The Swedes were a bit more polite about all that, weren't they?
They were. But you see it now. I mean, certainly with ATP Cup and Davis Cup and Novak Djokovic being, you know, the best player in the world, the Serb supporters come out and they make it like a soccer match. So we do sort of lose sight of the fact that this has been going on for a while. Although it's been happening now with Nick Kyrgios and he's stirring up the fans and the frenzy behind it, but it has been going on for a long, long time. We've just shone a bit more of a spotlight on it because it's Nick Kyrgios.
Final word on Ash. How far can her winning run continue? She almost looks unbeatable to me at the moment. She's a class above the other players. She plays differently to the other women on tour. US Open's the only one she hasn't won now.
Yeah, it is, and she's leaving her major competitors behind. So some of those competitors, Serena Williams, she's past her best now. She's into her 40s, as is Venus. Naomi Osaka. I mean, there's a real question mark over Naomi. She dominated there for a couple of years, won four Grand Slams quite quickly, and she was the number one player in the world. She's fallen back to about 88 in the world on the back of this tournament performance. She's not the player she was. I don't know how much training or how much focus she's got on tennis at the moment. If we look at Sabalenka, Sabalenka was the number two seed.
Yeah.
We saw an absolute emotional breakdown from Sabalenka in this tournament.
She couldn't serve.
Couldn't serve, was crying after games. I mean, she was just not in a great headspace. So there's something playing out there. So they were her greatest rivals, really. And so right now, I can see Ash dominating the game. Her style, The girls can't work her out.
Yeah.
They can't work out a slice backhand. Big kick forehand, a bit like Sammy Stosur. Kick forehand, kick serve, nice big topspin forehand, but controls the point really from that backhand wing. Can hit the double hander, does like to dictate the point with a slice. The girls can't work her out. All the girls like to have the ball coming through flat and around about waist height. That's their great hitting zone, but Ash doesn't give them that look. I mean, she's a real, real student of the game and she's a real thinker on court.
So it'd be hard to put any numbers on it, I know, but in terms of Grand Slam titles, but you'd think this calendar year, for instance, she's just going to start favourite in everything she goes into.
Yeah. And we spoke off air. Craig Tizer, her coach, came out and made a comment overnight about the balls at the US Open. He said that US Open is going to be the hardest Grand Slam for Ash to win because the men's use a different ball to the women's, and the women's ball is a little bit lighter. I didn't either. So that is a real – I guess she'll be working towards that now. She's got three of the four on all different services.
Mm.
US Open is that last bastion that she would love to capture. Not many ladies have actually won all four Grand Slams, let alone all four in a year, but all four at holding it at once. So they'll be putting a lot of time and effort and energy into concentrating on the US Open, no doubt about that. But I think the US Open, I think Wimbledon she can dominate because of her style. I think the Australian Open, she's won one now. The shackles are off. The monkey's off the back.
Mm.
I think she'll relax every time she plays in Australia now. So who knows? We could end up with 10, 12. Who knows?
Who knows?
Put a number on it.
Speaking of winning all four Grand Slams, we'll talk about the men's final next, because if Rafael Nadal could win tonight, he will have won all four Grand Slams twice. And not many people have done that. We'll take a quick break. A bit more of the tennis coming up. It's 20 past two.
Don't get caught with your Dax down this summer. Rob here from Dax Air and Electrical Services. Are you ready for the summer heat? From sales, service and installation of your new Mitsubishi electric air conditioner, contact us today, 9313
4645.
EC007768. G'day, this is the Camel. Where do you get spoiled milk? From a pampered cow. You get spoiled milk, pampered cow. Carlton Dry Blocks, just $59.99. Upside down New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, $9.99 a bottle. On the go, just tap and go at the Camel. Thirsty Camel bottle shops. Convenience and everyday low prices.
In 2021, there were 472,000 Australians living with dementia. What most people don't know is that over 28,000 were people in their 30s, 40s and 50s with younger onset dementia. This could be you or someone you love. I'm Teresa Bates, Dementia Care Specialist. I have been there and I can help you through your dementia journey. I can help with the confusion and frustration of dementia to allow you to be a family again, not just carers. Don't wait, be proactive and visit dementiacarespecialist.com.au.
You know us for our bright blue vans. Metropolitan Plumbing, Electrical and Air Conditioning. We are the 2020 Product Review Award winners for plumbing Australia-wide. Did you know we offer a range of $0 deposit, interest-free payment plans on even the smallest jobs and have no extra charge for after hours? We can also often be at your door within the hour for any emergencies or general maintenance. Metropolitan Plumbing, Electrical and Air Conditioning. Available 24/7.
Hey, party people. Buddy the Quokka here. You know, I may be tiny, but I've got a big power ballad full of love in my heart for HBF. In fact, you can hear it. Yeah, because it's out now on your internet machine. I particularly love the verse about HBF having no shareholders to pay, which means funds can go towards services that benefit members. Mic drop.
HBF's all for members and not for profit. Join today.
Oh, if I broke that, I'm in trouble.
Thinking about an SUV? Well, think Hyundai SUV. Imagine a range of five SUVs all equipped with the technology, performance and safety features to tackle your kind of action in style. Imagine yourself behind the wheel of the up-for-anything Kona, the multi-terrain ready Tucson, or the bold eight-seat Palisade, and anything in between. Because whatever your next adventure, from down the road to up the coast, we've got the SUV for you. Contact your local Hyundai dealer to find yours.
This is Mark Gibson on 882 6PR.
I've got Brett Patton in the studio with me, the CEO of Tennis West. We could go on and on and on about Ash Barty. Stuart on the text line said how much he loved her temperament at 5-1 down to come back and win that in two sets. We all loved that. Good on you, Stuart. Brett, tonight is the men's singles final. You know, one of the funny parts about all of this, we're all talking about the tennis. Everyone watched it last night, and a couple of weeks ago, people were saying, no one cares now. Novak Djokovic isn't here. No one's going to watch the tennis.
And the ratings are through the roof. We spoke off air. Yeah. Higher ratings than the Olympics.
Higher than the AFL Grand Final, wow. That more than 4 million Australians. Yep. Like, it's crazy how much people are into it. It's great. It's great for this sport that we love, and we love talking about it. So let's talk about Medvedev and Nadal tonight. Rafa is going for 21.
Won't get there.
No, I don't think he will either.
Daniil Medvedev, and I know I've heard you speak about Daniil Medvedev. I mean, he is the real deal. I mean, he was under all sorts of... I mean, he was out of the tournament for all sense and purpose, down a match point against Felix Alassime and from Canada, and he got out of that match, and now he finds himself in a final. And I just think he's unstoppable. His athleticism, he's got an awkward style about him. He doesn't give an inch on the court, and I just think this is his tournament to lose. He's already won a US Open. He lost in the final, this run open last year to Novak Djokovic, so he's learnt a lot from that.
Yeah.
And it was interesting what he said after that match with Felix. I think Jim Courier asked him, what was going through your mind when you're down 2-0? And he said, the crowd won't like this, but I went into what would Novak do?
Yes.
The crowd sort of booed and hissed. But he is a remarkable athlete, and I think he will win this. I don't think it'll be easy because Rafa never gives out any free points, but I think it's going to be Daniel's tournament. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's so hard to... I just always sort of add on the end, but it's Rafa. Yeah. You never quite know with Rafa. No. He looks wounded. He looks tired. He looks like he's not at his peak. And then he somehow produces the most incredible tennis. You know, Rafa's first Australian Open was back in 2004.
Unbelievable. I think it would have been 16.
He was 17. And then he won it. His only time he's won it is 2009. When he was 22.
Do you remember that match? Defeated Roger Federer.
Roger in the
Roger
final.
Roger broke down at the trophy presentation.
Yes. And now he's 35.
Remarkable.
And he's still going in 2022 in another final. I mean, it's incredible. And if he could win it, he'd overtake Novak and Roger for now.
And that'd be an interesting conversation about who is the greatest player of all time. We've been throwing that around for a while.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of goes to the most Grand Slam title holders would be considered the greatest of all time. But I think there's an argument to say Roger has brought the game of tennis elevated to new levels over the last 15 years.
Yep.
Rafa has brought that different game style. They two are yin and yang. It's a bit like the Borg and McEnroe. It's a great rivalry. Novak was almost that forgotten person, the third-ranked player. Novak, for those listeners, he holds the most weeks as the third-ranked player in the world. He holds the most weeks as the second-ranked player in the world. Mm. And he holds the most weeks as the top-ranked player in the world.
Incredible.
That is remarkable.
Isn't it?
I mean, his staying power, he's won every tournament. He's won every ATP 1000, 9 of them on the tour. He's won the ATP Cup. He's won a Davis Cup. He's won all the Grand Slams. And the only thing he hasn't got in his cupboard is a gold medal at the Olympics, and he was trying for that this year and obviously lost to Alexander Zverev. So he's a remarkable athlete.
Tell you what else he doesn't have. A vaccination certificate.
Well, that's true. That is true. That's a good call.
But he also holds a winning record over both Roger and Rafa. You know, it's very hard to go past Novak when you're talking about simply on tennis results.
Yeah, but he hasn't, although we talk the big three and we throw Andy Murray into the big four and probably Stan Wawrinka really over the last 10 years been the standout players. You know, for me, I really do like the fact that off the court, not just on the court, but Roger Federer, and I know you're a big fan. We're both big fans of Roger. For me, he still stands head and shoulders above everyone else. I'm in a different camp. I think Pete Sampras is one of the greatest of all time as well.
Absolutely.
I love the way Pete played the game. Andre Agassi, just to give a different perspective on the game of tennis and bring, I guess, a bit like what Nick does, bring other kids to the game that ordinarily wouldn't like the game because he was flamboyant. He had the long hair, the fluoro. And, you know, but for me right now, absolutely Roger Federer, the greatest.
Well, that's an argument we could play out over many more weeks, months and years, I'm sure. Brett, just tell us, from a West Australian perspective, are we going to get top-line tennis back here in WA? We lost the Hopman Cup. We had a brief thing. We thought we were getting the ATP Cup. The world's changed. We all understand that. Are we going to get top-level tennis back here?
Yeah, absolutely. The ATP Cup will be back in 2023, no question about that. And I'm working with Tia at the moment to look at getting a Davis Cup or a Billie Jean King Cup tie here in WA. Now, with the announcement around the borders, it's making it increasingly difficult, but we are always working with Tennis Australia in regards to, they understand that we've lost world-class tournaments here. They are trying their very best to work with us to get an event across. The ATP Cup is here to stay. It's going to be part of our sporting calendar for many more years.
Right. So that, next year.
Put that in the calendar for next year. That's going to be, we're going to start ramping that up midway through this year. And my intention is to get the Australian players across and the world's best players across, because we've missed out on those for the ATP Cup in 2023. But, yeah, we're always working with Tennis Australia to try to get either a Davis Cup first round or a Billie Jean King Cup first round.
Well, let's talk about a Billie Jean King Cup, because so for our listeners who might remember the term Fed Cup and Federation Cup, it's now called the Billie Jean King Cup. They are playing when? April.
April. So Good Friday. And Easter Saturday is their scheduled first round for the Billie Jean King Cup this year.
So that would be Ash Barty playing for Australia.
And you'd have Alicia Molik, who's a WA resident. She's the captain coach. And, of course, three of the top five girls in Australia at the moment. Madison Inglis, who we saw have a breakout run at the Australian Open. She's a WA girl. Astra Sharma won her first WTA tournament earlier last year. She's West Australian. And, of course, Stormy Sanders, who won the Adelaide International alongside Ash Barty only a matter of a couple of weeks ago and made the quarters of the Olympics with Ash Barty.
Yeah.
Three of the top five girls, including Ash, Alicia. You know, we have it's basically a WA team.
Well, let's go. So that's Easter time in April. Are the borders going to be open by then?
Well,
we don't know.
That's the question. Who knows? So I can't give you a definitive answer. No. We are working closely with TA, but again, it's going to be contingent on what's happening around the borders. So that's really going to be.
See, there you go. You know, we speak about sport a lot on this station and the impact the borders are having on so many sports. If you hadn't already, throw tennis into the mix, because if, you know, these guys are here working behind the scenes to try to get Davis Cup, Billie Jean King Cup, the world's best players into Perth, and yet again, it's...
And Maddie Ebden right now is in isolation for 14 days. So at this rate, if we try to get the girls across, the best players in the world, 14 days quarantine is what they'd have to do. And
they
that's just
that.
Not sustainable.
No, you can't do that.
Can't do it.
Get out and play. All right. Well, that's great. That's a pretty comprehensive wrap up of all that. What else have you got on the local front you want to get in there today?
Well, I can tell you right now, if all the listeners want to get onto play.tennis.com.au, they can actually get a free court hire for the month of February on the back of the wonderful Australian Open and the performances from all the Australian players. So play.tennis.com.au, get onto that website and you can go on there and find your nearest club, and you can actually get free court hire until February.
I'm not going to have to pay at Mount Lawley next
Mount
time.
Mount Lawley, you can wear the cut-off shirt, Gibbo, and get right down there. The Goods Property Service, the State League men's and women's, recommenced yesterday in blistering heat all around WA. There was a couple of matches that were called off because of the heat rule. And so that was commenced again yesterday. And, of course, the Taipower WA State Leagues event was commenced right across the Perth metro landscape as well. And of course, there were some great junior tournaments down in Busselton, which got a lot of publicity over the last couple of weeks. A beautiful tournament run down in the beautiful venue of Busselton Tennis Club. We want to give them a thank you, and the council of the city of Busselton and the Lord Mayor, everyone down there. They did a wonderful job in supporting the growth of junior participation in the junior tournament down in Busselton. So a couple of the activities going on and around WA over the last couple of weeks, Gibbo.
Excellent. If you're thinking about picking up a tennis racket, we've been going on about how good it is. There's no better time. You've just seen Ash Barty win the Australian Open. She's the best in the world. Get out, pick up a racket and have some fun, hey?
Absolutely. And what I'd encourage everyone to do is also, when you go to a club, introduce yourself to the coach, because as everyone at a club is different levels. And the best person to talk to and to support the growth in your game is go and introduce yourself to the coach. They'll be able to support you around putting in the right social play, getting some coaching, getting in the right league. So the coach is the most important person in any tennis club. And so I'd encourage everyone, whenever they go on to play.tennis.com.au, find that club, get down there and introduce yourself to the coach, and they'll support you.
And pay for a couple of lessons. It will make all the difference.
Are you getting any lessons still, or are you too good for lessons?
Oh, no, I'm never too good for lessons. Actually, I was thinking about taking a couple of lessons. Brett, all my forehands are going too long.
Never overhit a forehand, Gibbo. Never once.
Brett, time for you to leave. Thank you very much for coming in again today. As you can tell, I enjoy talking tennis. We'll do it all again very soon. Up next, though.